In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This morning, a Roman centurion, he's one of the military elite, powerful and feared, armed and holding the weapons of war. A Roman centurion recognizes the authority of Christ. The centurion says that he too is a man both under authority and who has authority over others as well. The centurion knows what it means to command others and to receive commands from his own superiors. This is really one of the most impressive encounters in the Gospels. The centurion, may we never forget, is the enemy. The Roman army has taken over Palestine. The Jews want them to leave. Some of the Jews even work as revolutionaries behind the scenes, trying to overthrow the Romans by force. Plus, we know that the Romans are not Jewish, they're pagans. They are not part of Israel, they don't belong there, they are unclean, and they are opposed to the will of God. And yet, this centurion, he's the one who falls down before Christ and calls him Lord. He calls Jesus Master. Lord, he says to Jesus, Master, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully suffering. He calls Jesus Lord, and when he does this, he takes a risk, a real risk. He puts his life on the line. To a centurion, the Roman emperor is Lord, not some local small potatoes Jewish teacher. But the centurion doesn't even stop there. When Jesus says, I will come and heal your servant, the centurion lowers himself even further. He says to Jesus, No, I am not worthy to receive you in my house. Your words are enough. And the centurion waits. He waits for a healing word from Christ. To the centurion, Jesus is a man of authority. But Jesus is not just another soldier. He's not just another leader in the military or the political system. Jesus, according to the centurion, stands outside the usual chain of command. He stands above it. And the centurion is willing to give up his position, maybe even give up his own life, to stand under the authority of Christ. But the big question is, why? Why in the world would he do this? This is a moment of conversion for the centurion. He stops looking to the emperor and to his own Roman commanders, and he now looks to Jesus Christ as Lord. But why is this happening? The emperor can take his life, but Jesus is no threat. In hand-to-hand combat, Jesus would lose to the centurion. He has no reason to fear Christ. Jesus is not surrounded by a fearsome swarm of bodyguards. Jesus himself does not command soldiers. He doesn't command revolutionaries. Peter and James and John are sturdy, I'm sure, but they are pretty puny compared to a centurion. Jesus carries no weapons. He preaches a message of peace and reconciliation. Jesus is not even popular among his own people. They're in Capernaum. Capernaum's the headquarters. It's where he runs his mission. Jesus is still largely rejected by all the other Jewish teachers and leaders. He has no military authority, no political authority, and he certainly has no money. By the standards of the day, Jesus is a nobody. He has nothing to offer. He is rejected and ridiculed, and soon he is to be abandoned, even by his friends, to a death at the hands of his enemies, a death that will be supervised by Roman centurions just like the one we meet today. So what does this centurion see in Christ? Is this authority that he claims is there, is it just an illusion? Is it just wishful thinking? Have you ever held the hand of someone you love and think, I would do anything in this world for you? Have you ever been held so close by a parent or held close by a friend in a time of crisis and thought, I am safe here. I have nothing to fear here. Have you ever looked into the eyes of another human being? Have they looked back at you, even for just a moment? And you say to yourself, this person knows me. This person accepts me, believes in me. This person would also do anything in the world for me. It could be a friend or a husband or a wife or a parent or a child. It could be a spiritual father or mother. It could be a brother or sister in Christ. It doesn't matter. If you have ever been moved to let down your defenses, if you have ever been moved to say that nothing else in the world matters except my relationship with you, if you have felt comfortable and safe and joyous in the presence of another, if you understand what trust feels like, then you have experienced the power of love. You have experienced the authority in your own life that comes when love is shared between two people. And for certain, it's an authority that blows all other authorities out of the water. The one who feels loved is no longer controlled by fear. The one who experiences love is no longer moved by any earthly power. Money doesn't matter. Political leverage doesn't matter. The guns you carry and the weapons you control, they don't matter. When love is present in the room, every other form of authority and influence just shrinks. And the centurion has tasted this love in the person of Jesus Christ. He has seen Christ's love in action, in his words and in his teaching, in his compassion for the sick and the outcast. There's love in the eyes of Christ. There's love in the hands of Christ. There's love in every gesture and smile, love even in every correction and reminder. Love that you can trust. Love that makes even the fears of a Roman centurion fall away and become nothing. The presence of Christ is pure love, and it moves this centurion. It moves him to count every other kind of authority and power as nothing. This is why the centurion is willing to put his life on the line, and also the life of his tormented servant. The centurion receives love, and he responds with trust. He receives love, and in exchange, the centurion says, I believe, Lord. This, unfortunately, is not true all of the time. Jesus loves, but is hated. He reaches out, but his hands are slapped. He encourages, but is shouted down. He invites, but Jesus is always rejected. And so when the centurion falls down and calls Jesus Lord, Scripture says that Jesus marvels at the Roman centurion's faith. I have never seen anything like this in all of Israel, says Christ. Christ is moved, no less than the centurion. And together they form a fellowship of divine power and authority, one based on love and trust, one based on mutual support and commitment. Brothers and sisters, there are many forms of authority in this world. And some forms of authority are really quite evil. We use hatred and terror to control others. We use fear and threats to make someone else bend to what we desire. Others might seek to serve us because we have more money than they do, more political connections. But in the end, the only authority that matters is authority that flows from love. Genuine love, love that never changes, love that never lessens, love that is always freely offered, no strings attached. This is God's love. This is the love which the centurion saw in action each time he met Christ. It's the same love which Christ offers us here at this Eucharistic celebration. Here where our Lord once again offers himself to us for healing and for salvation, for the forgiveness of sins, for the communion with the Holy Spirit. And either we will respond as the centurion responds, either we will realize that Christ's love brings release from all other attachments. Either we will say, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but it is no longer possible to live without you. Or we will respond as the religious leaders around him respond. We will fear Jesus instead of entering into the life that he offers. This morning, brothers and sisters, choose to fall down with the centurion. Choose to give in to the love that radiates from the constant and the eternal presence of Christ. Choose to lay aside the armor and the weapons, all the defenses, all the ways we have learned to protect and insulate and to disconnect ourselves from God and from others. Dare to believe that the author of life seeks to visit your home and to heal what suffers in your life. Confess with the centurion this morning that we are not worthy of this love, but neither can we live without it. For this love, there is no replacement. There is no greater authority. Amen.